Live from Washington, it's the Inside Scoop, with all the news the government does not want you to know. Now, here's the host of the Inside Scoop, Congressional Attorney Mark Levin.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Do you know who you're going to vote for President of the United States? I'm trying to decide myself, and I haven't a clue. Maybe you can help me this evening. We have talked about the Republican nominees in the past. Tonight is devoted to the Democrats. I'm wearing a blue shirt. Let's talk about the Democratic nominees, because I do know who I'm going to vote for in November. In November, I will vote for one of the three Democratic nominees. In alphabetical order, Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, or Barack Obama. I will vote for one of the Democrats because the Democrats, other than the Republicans, have distinct advantages. All of them do. If, for example, you believe that the war in Iraq hasn't really helped American security very much, if you think that the $1 trillion, 4,000 American lives, tens of thousands of American wounded, if you think that that money and those lives could be better spent maybe going after Osama bin Laden, or maybe helping to protect levees of cities at home so we don't have another Hurricane Katrina, then you want to vote for one of the Democrats, any of the Democrats. If you like the healthcare system that America is in, if you think it's just fine that in the richest country on earth we have children who die because they can't afford healthcare, then you want to vote for the Republicans. If you think we need to move toward universal healthcare, there are some differences among the Democrats, but all of them do that more than the Republicans. If you're a fiscal conservative, if you think we've had huge, wasteful government spending, then obviously you will vote for the Democrat in November. The Republicans are all offering more and more and more debt. That's the one thing the Republicans truly believe in, massive debt, huge interest rates, so that your children have to pay more. They say, why should we pay today? We can put it on America's credit card and make your children pay higher taxes. If you're a fiscal conservative, you're going to vote for the Democrat. So on a whole range of issues, whether it's civil rights, whether it's belief that one's religion is one's own private affair and shouldn't be dictated to by the government, whatever it is, there are many reasons to vote for the Democrat this fall. And heck, if you disagree, call in and let me know. Tell me why. So I know who I'll vote for in November. What I don't know is who I'll vote for February 12th. February 12th is the week after Super Tuesday, 2 weeks from this Tuesday, when the voters of Maryland, the District of Columbia, and the state of Virginia will vote in what's being called the Chesapeake primary. Normally it would be an afterthought after Super Tuesday when 22 states vote. But an election as close as this one on the Democratic and the Republican sides, we in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area may well play a very important role. We'll get to more of that in a minute. In any case, tonight I'm talking about the Democrats, and obviously I have to make some distinction between them. I'm going to vote, and I'm going to pull the lever for somebody come February 12th. It's hard to make those distinctions, though, because as I've said, I would prefer any of the three candidates, Clinton, Obama, or Edwards, over any of the Republicans running. So how do you distinguish between them? Well, one of the ways, I think, is to look at the debates. And we're going to be going in detail over the debates tonight, exploring what the various candidates see on different issues, and also explore the role of the media. Who does the media want to win? Has that been clear? Is the media favoring a candidate? Should that bias affect your vote? To what extent do issues of race and gender play a role? To what extent is the media putting that forward as an interesting story, but really doesn't matter so much? I want to explore all of these issues, and I want to take your calls because your participation is important. Tell me who you're going to vote for and why. Tell me if you're going to vote for a Republican. Tell me if you're undecided and why. But I want to explore these issues in detail. You have the number 571-749-1166. This show is live. I do want to hear from you. Let's start, though, with the debate. The South Carolina debate was one of the most contentious debates that the Democrats have had. The press said it was an extremely difficult debate. They say that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama don't like each other. What they never seem to really talk about, though, are the issues involved. Let's explore one of the issues in the South Carolina debate. The one that I think got the most controversy because of the exchange between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
She says that you have failed in that regard in the tune of some $50 billion worth of new programs that you cannot account for. How do you respond to that charge?
What you said wasn't true. We account for every single dollar that we propose. Now, you know, this, I think, is one of the things that's happened during the course of this campaign, that there's a set of assertions made by Senator Clinton as well as her husband that are not factually accurate. I think that part of what the people are looking for right now is somebody who's going to solve problems and not resort to the same typical politics that we've seen in Washington. That is something that I hear all across the country. When Senator Clinton or President Clinton says that I wasn't opposed to the war from the start, or says it's a fairy tale that I opposed the war, that is simply not true. When Senator Clinton or President Clinton asserts that I said that the Republicans had had better economic policies since 1980, that is not the case. Now, the viewers aren't concerned with this kind of back and forth. What they're concerned about is who's actually going to help them get health care, how are they going to get their kids going to college, and that's the kind of campaign I've tried to run. I think that's the kind of campaign we should all try to run.
Well, I couldn't agree more, but I do think that your record and what you say does matter. And when it comes to a lot of the issues that are important in this race, it is sometimes difficult to understand what Senator Obama has said, because as soon as he is confronted on it, he says that's not what he meant. The facts are that he has said in the last week that he really liked the ideas of the Republicans over the last 10 to 15 years. And we can give you the exact quote. Please. Now, I personally think they had ideas, but they were bad ideas. They were bad ideas for America. They were ideas like privatizing Social Security, like moving back from a balanced budget and a surplus to deficit and debt. And with respect to putting forth how one would pay for all of the programs that we're proposing in this campaign, I will be more than happy, Barack, to get the information, because we have searched for it. You have a lot of money that you want to put into foreign aid, a very worthy program. There is no evidence from your website, from your speeches, as to how you would pay for it. Now, why is this important? It's important because I think elections are about the future. But how do you determine what will happen in the future? Well, you have to look to the record. You have to look to what we say in campaigns and what we have done during our careers. And I want to be just very explicit about this. We are not, neither my campaign nor anyone associated with it, are in any way saying you did not oppose the war in Iraq. You did. You gave a great speech in 2002 opposing the war in Iraq. That was not what the point of our criticism was. It was after having given that speech, by the next year, the speech was off your website. By the next year, you were telling reporters that you agreed with President Bush in his conduct of the war. And by the next year, when you were in the Senate, you were voting to fund the war time after time after time. Right. So it was more about the distinction between words and action. And I think that is a fair assessment for voters to make.
Senator, we're a little off topic. I have to let Senator Obama respond. Then the Senator Edwards is going to come in as well.
Off topic,
but go ahead and respond, and then I want to get back to this issue that we're talking about, fiscal responsibility.
Well,
go ahead.
Let's talk about it. Hillary, I will be happy to provide you with the information about all the spending that we do. Now, let's talk about Ronald Reagan. What you just repeated here today is patent. Wait, no, Hillary, you just spoke for 2 minutes.
I did not say anything about Ronald Reagan. You said two things. You talked about admiring Ronald Reagan, and you talked about the ideas of the Republicans. I didn't talk about Ronald Reagan.
We just have the tape. You just said that I complimented the Republican ideas. That is not true. What I said, and I will provide you with a quote, what I said is that Ronald Reagan was a transformative political figure because he was able to get Democrats to vote against their economic interests, to form a majority, to push through their agenda, an agenda that I objected to, because while I was working on those streets, watching those folks see their jobs shipped overseas, you were a corporate lawyer sitting on the board of Walmart. I was fighting these fights. So I want to be clear. What I said had nothing to do with their policies. I spent a lifetime fighting against Ronald Reagan's policies. But what I did say is that we have to be thinking in the same transformative way about our democratic agenda. We've got to appeal to independents and Republicans in order to build a working majority to move an agenda forward. That is what I said. Now, you can dispute that, but let me finish. Hillary, you went on for 2 minutes. Let me finish. The irony of this is that you provided much more fulsome praise of Ronald Reagan in a book by Tom Brokaw that's being published right now, as did Bill Clinton in the past. So these are the kinds of political games that we are accustomed to.
Wait a minute, Mr. Edwards,
let them wrap up and then I'm going to come to you.
I just want to clarify the record.
Wait a second, Senator Edwards, hold on. There has been a specific charge leveled against Hillary Clinton, so she can respond, then I'll bring in Senator Edwards.
I just want to be sure.
We got a long time to go. You'll have a good opportunity.
We're just getting warmed up. Now, I just want to be clear about this. In an editorial board with the Reno newspaper, you said two different things because I have read the transcript. Mm-hmm. You talked about Ronald Reagan being a transformative political leader. I did not mention his name.
Your husband did.
Well, I'm here. He's
okay,
not.
Okay, well,
and
I can't tell who I'm running against sometimes.
Well, I think we both have very passionate and committed spouses who stand up for us, and I'm proud of that. But you also talked about the Republicans having ideas over the last 10 to 15 years.
I didn't say they were good ones.
Well, you can read the context of it.
Well,
it certainly
came
across.
I didn't say they were good ones.
It certainly came across in the way that it was presented, as though the Republicans had been standing up against the conventional wisdom with their ideas. I'm just reacting to the fact, yes, they did have ideas, and they were bad ideas, bad for America. And I was fighting against those ideas when you were practicing law and representing your contributor, Resco, in his slum landlord business in inner city Chicago.
Hold on.
Okay. All right. Both of them
the claim about the bankruptcy bill. I said very clearly.
Both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, they do get into it a bit here. But what is the essence of the argument? The essence of the argument is something that I think is the most fascinating thing going on here, and frankly will make up my decision on who to vote for February 12th. What is Barack Obama saying about Ronald Reagan? What is he saying about the Republican Party? Is he someone who can indeed bring Republicans and moderates in to vote for him? And if so, what will they vote for? Will they vote for bipartisanship? Will they vote for compromise? Or will they vote for the progressive ideals that Barack Obama seems to stand for? This is the ultimate question, the most interesting question of politics, and one that I don't think has been really made clear by other hosts, by other television programs. I'm going to play for you the specific Reno interview that Barack Obama gave, the one that Hillary Clinton is talking about. Because I want you to see it. I want you to see exactly what he was talking about. It's a little unclear as it happens. I had Mike Lane, Republican strategist, on this show, and he said what Hillary Clinton said. Barack Obama was praising Republican ideas. Let me ask you if that's what you think he was doing. It's a little unclear, and that's what I think makes it so interesting. Here, and it's a small screen. In fact, it's hard to find this, frankly, on the internet. Here is Barack Obama's interview in Reno, Nevada.
I made the most appearances for members of Congress. I was the most requested surrogate to come in and campaign for people in districts that were swing districts, Republican districts, where they wouldn't have any other Democrat. And that was based on their read of the fact that, you know what, this is somebody who can reach out to independents and Republicans in a way that doesn't offend people. I don't want to present myself as some sort of singular figure. I think part of what's different are the times. I do think that, for example, the 1980 election was different. I mean, I think Ronald Reagan changed the trajectory of America in a way that Richard Nixon did not. And in a way that Bill Clinton did not. He put us on a fundamentally different path, because the country was ready for it. I think they felt like, you know, with all the excesses of the 60s and the 70s, and, you know, government had grown and grown, but there wasn't much sense of accountability in terms of how it was operating. And I think, you know, people just tapped in, he tapped into what people were already feeling, which is we want clarity, we want optimism, we want, you know, a return to that sense of dynamism and you know, entrepreneurship that had been missing, all right? I think Kennedy, 20 years earlier, moved the country in a fundamentally different direction. So I think a lot of it just has to do with the times. I think we're in one of those times right now where people feel like things as they are going aren't working, that we're bogged down in the same arguments that we've been having, and they're not useful. And, you know, the Republican approach, I think it's played itself out. I mean, I think it's fair to say the Republicans were the party of ideas for a pretty long chunk of time there over the last 10, 15 years, in the sense that they were challenging conventional wisdom. Now, you've heard it all before. You look at the economic policies, you know, when they're being debated among the presidential candidates, it's all tax cuts. Well, you know, we know, we've done that. We've tried it. You know, that's not really going to solve our energy problems, for example. So some of it's the times, and some of it I do think there's maybe a generational element to this, partly, in the sense that I didn't come of age in the battles of the 60s. I'm not as invested in them. And so I think I talk differently about issues, and I think I talk differently about values, and that's why I think we've been resonating with the American.
So this is very interesting here. What we have here is a debate, and it's not clear necessarily what Barack Obama is saying. He does seem to be praising the Republicans. I mean, I don't think Hillary Clinton, I don't know that this can be considered a negative attack. He does seem to be praising the Republicans. He talks about the optimism and the dynamism and the entrepreneurship of the Reagan age. And he suggests that he doesn't want to get bogged down in the same arguments. He talked about the excesses of the 60s and the 70s. He's not invested in the 60s. And frankly, I'm not so sure he's invested in the 90s. In the sense that he argues that Ronald Reagan transformed the country in a way that Nixon did not, in a way that Clinton did not. Now, that may be true, an historical point, and that may be the only point that he was making. But he's saying that the Republicans were the party of ideas for 10 to 15 years. Now, what's he doing by saying that? For one thing, he's clearly distancing himself from the Clinton legacy, which is fair. He's running against Hillary Clinton. That makes sense. But he also seems to be suggesting that the Democrats didn't have ideas in the 90s. That's the criticism that Mike Lane brought up here, one that I said, if he said that, I think he's wrong. That's what Hillary Clinton was bringing up. Obviously, the Democratic Party had lots of ideas 10, 15 years ago. You had Hillary Clinton's health care plan. You don't have to agree with it or disagree with it, but it was certainly innovative for its time. When you talk about the Family and Medical Leave Act, that was certainly a Clinton idea, as well as things that the left didn't like, things like welfare reform. So what's interesting to me, and again, Barack Obama points out it's generational. He's saying that the new generation isn't invested in the battles of the past, and that's true. But what are we to make of the battles of the past? This is the ultimate question that I'm asking about Barack Obama, who I may very well vote for 2 weeks from Tuesday. The question I'm asking myself is this. Will he indeed make change that compromises with Republicans, or will he indeed make change that is more of a progressive nature for America? I can't tell you all the people I've talked to about politics that say two completely contradictory things to me and don't even realize it's a contradiction. So many people have said to me as a radio, as a TV commentator, Mark, I don't think the Democrats have done enough. I think the Democrats have caved in to George Bush too much. They're compromising too much with the Republicans. They came into office saying they would get the troops out of Iraq. They haven't. They're failures. Okay, I respect that opinion. But not if you also give the same opinion when you say America is too partisan. that America, as Barack Obama says, is bogged down in arguments, is bogged down in partisanship, that America needs to reach out to Republicans and independents, to reach out in a bipartisanship manner. If you believe in bipartisanship, that's a perfectly fair thing for you to believe in. If you believe the Democrats have not stood their guns enough, that's fair too. But you can't believe them both. You can't believe them both, my friends. And that's the argument I'm trying to make here. So Barack Obama is one of two people. Either Barack Obama is truly going to compromise with the Republicans, which doesn't seem to be in his record. I'm not saying he will. But when he talks about bringing Republicans in and independents in, will he compromise with them? Or will it just be window dressing? Interestingly, he talks about George Bush as just being window dressing. If you look here and you see at his speech, right here, we have it on the internet, his remarks at the DNC fall meeting. Obama pledges to deliver change we can believe in. Let's show that on the screen if we can. Barack Obama gives an argument before the Democratic National Committee, and he says, we were promised a uniter, and we got a president who could not lead half of the country that voted for him. So what is Barack Obama saying? He's saying, don't promise to be a uniter, and then only lead half. But isn't that what he's trying to do? Maybe he's trying to be just like Ronald Reagan. Be nice, seem friendly, but actually move the country in a progressive direction. And if that's so, I don't have any problem with it. If he can convince Republicans and independents to jump onto the progressive agenda, more power to him. Barack Obama, you got my vote. You got my vote. But he shouldn't pretend it's an easy choice. One of the things that fascinates me about this campaign is to the extent that the media seems to be saying it's an easy choice. Seem to be saying the Democrats aren't standing up to Bush, and at the same time, they're not compromising enough. And in the process, they're very much hitting Hillary Clinton hard. And I want to play some of that for you a little bit later on. I do want to go to the phones, though, because we have Ed from Fairfax. Ed, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Okay. There are a few things that, one, I want to say what I think that election in South Carolina was about, really. I think the public has gotten tired of all this bickering, and I believe that, now basically I'm a Republican, but I could live with Barack Obama, because I feel that if he made a mistake, he would make an honest mistake, or he would think he would be doing right. But I believe that Hillary Clinton is a venomous personality, and she will not stop unless she can dictate and control. She will make other people submit, I believe. Now,
well, let me ask you a question, Ed, because that's a fascinating thing that you said. You say that Barack Obama is basically an honest man, and you think Hillary Clinton is basically a dishonest person.
I think she's very dishonest. I think the press has been saying that she's negative.
Well, the press has been calling her all kinds of names. We're going to get to that in a minute. But let me ask you a question. Do you think that Barack Obama would be more likely to compromise with Republicans, more likely to move toward the Republicans, to give them a say in his government than Hillary Clinton?
There was a man in American history named George Bancroft. He was once Secretary of State. He is also the man who set up the Naval Academy at Annapolis and ran that for a while. He made a statement one time that I will never forget. Of course, I read about it in the history books, but he said, the feud between the capitalist and the laborer, the house of have and the house of want, is as old as social union and can never entirely be quieted.
But I'm trying to get your point here.
Here it is, right here. He said, but he who acts with moderation and prefers fact to theory will see that the violence of the contest may be stilled. I think that the Democrats have valid points. I think the Republicans have valid points. And I think we can talk about them and bring some academic standards back to...
Well, let me get some specifics. You think Barack Obama would move this country further to the right than Hillary Clinton because he would compromise more with Republicans, right?
I think that he will try to do the right thing, that his mistakes will be...
You don't think Hillary Clinton will try to do the right thing?
I think Hillary Clinton will do what she thinks is she wants to do. She has raised her opinion, in my thinking, she has raised her opinion to the level that she considers it knowledge. When one does that, one is no longer willing to
talk
about
so what you're saying is, correct me if I'm wrong, you think Hillary Clinton has ideas and she would implement her ideas and wouldn't listen to criticism, and you think Barack Obama would listen to criticism from the right and even move toward the right to accommodate that criticism. Is that what you're saying?
I think that I wouldn't use the word criticism. I would use the word wouldn't listen to advice.
So you think Hillary Clinton's a lot like George Bush, that she's going to do what she wants and is not going to listen to anyone who tells her otherwise. She is persistent and stubborn and inflexible like our president.
Yeah, I would say they have some personality traits in common, yes.
Okay, here's what I guess I'm trying to understand here, though. If you believe in the agenda, in the progressive agenda, which you don't, if you believe that both Hillary and Barack Obama, their agenda is not so different. And you think Hillary Clinton would be more persistent in pursuing a progressive agenda, would fight back against the Republicans more than Barack Obama, then shouldn't the Democrats support Hillary Clinton for that reason?
I think that she is, my personal opinion is that she is just two-faced. She will mislead and
what makes you think that?
What makes me think
that?
I think she the same reasons that the press always says she's negative. They say she's polarizing.
Well, those are just words. They say she's negative. They say she's polarizing. I saw in this debate that we just saw, I saw Hillary challenge Barack Obama on some of his things. I saw him challenge her on some of her things, right? Isn't that the way? I mean, they both talked about issues. Neither one took it personally. How is it that Hillary Clinton is venomous, dishonest? I hear all these very negative things, and I agree with you. The press is saying that. I'm going to play some of that. But and we only got a few seconds left before we have to take a break. But very quickly, tell me specifically something you think Hillary Clinton's done that's been dishonest.
Well, on the news, when she was talked about him working for the slumlord Resnick,
right?
They
Resco.
Came on the news the next day on nationwide TV that he wasn't a slumlord, and also showed her and Bill Clinton in a picture with Resnick.
Oh, I don't know that they were in a picture with Resco.
Yes, yes.
Hold on, Ed. We got to take a break. But here's the question to me, and it's very interesting. I think Ed and a lot of us get a lot of our opinions from the media. And one of the things I think that Ed is pointing out is how the media has been putting down Hillary Clinton. I want to show you some of that after the break. We'll be right back after this.
How far would you go to help someone? Would you go to the end of your driveway? Would you cross a street? Would you cross an ocean? To a place 6,000 miles from home? And how long would you go? Would you go for a week? A month? A year? Would you go for 2 years? Would you go if you could use your knowledge to teach someone, and in the process, maybe learn something yourself? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps.
James, don't forget your helmet.
Will do.
Your bike helmet.
Oh, okay.
We all think I'm a little bit more, but not too much.
Hi, longer. I'm James Thrash with the Washington Redskins. On the football field, a helmet is an important piece of equipment. I also wear another helmet that's just as important. A bike helmet. It's the most important piece of equipment you'll have the next time you're out on your bike. Wear yours and make sure your kids do too. Safety first with the Skins.
Monica and her friends want you to know that you should never get near a dog when it is eating, playing with a favorite toy, or sleeping. It's really important to make time for exercise and games and keep your dog's vaccines up to date. Never leave a dog in a small, confined space. This can make dogs aggressive like Monica. If you follow this advice, you and your dog can play safely and happily together.
We are back to the Inside Scoop. Call in live and let your voice be heard. Here again, your host, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the Democratic nominees for President of the United States. I'm mostly talking about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. I will talk a little bit about John Edwards. However, and I'm sorry, Edwards supporters, I think it is fair to point out that with the exception of a very, very close second place in the Iowa caucuses, he's been third in every race. After Super Tuesday, I'd be surprised, frankly, if John Edwards gets second place in any of those states. He might get one second place. I don't expect him to win it. So I've mostly been focusing on the front runners, and I apologize to Edwards supporters. He has a lot of good things to say, but they are the ones who I will be just making my decision in between. I also have on the line Ed from Fairfax. Now, Ed, is you're a Republican, Ed, or an independent?
I have voted for both, but generally the Republicans.
Okay. Would you vote for Barack Obama over the Republican candidates who are running?
Probably not.
Probably not. Does it matter which Republican candidate is it? Would you vote for Romney over Obama, McCain over Obama, Huckabee over Obama, Giuliani, all of them over Obama?
I would probably go with Mitt Romney because I think he has more economic sense.
Would you vote for McCain over Obama?
I would like to see a McCain Obama ticket. That's what I'd like to
see. Yeah, well, you're not going to see that.
No. Or John Edwards.
Well, you might vote for John Edwards over any of the Republicans.
I feel that if I shook hands with John Edwards or Barack Obama, that would be fine. But if If I shook hands with Hillary Clinton when I got my hand back, I'd count to make sure I had all five fingers still there.
You see, I find it very interesting that you're lobbying all these personal attacks against Hillary Clinton. Let me understand, would you vote for Edwards or Obama over any of the Republicans? Or is it just that you would vote for the Republican nominee in the fall, which is certainly your right, over any of the Democrats?
I would go more for a Republican. But I think both of those guys are honest guys.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Ed. I appreciate it. Ed demonstrates something I think that's very interesting here. And that is the Republicans' intense, venomous, if I can use his word, hatred for Hillary Clinton. And it's very interesting to discover why. It's not because he would vote more likely for Barack Obama or John Edwards. You heard him say he's going to vote for the Republican. That's his right. But he really, really hates Hillary Clinton. Why do the Republicans hate Hillary Clinton with a passion? Why do they make it personal? Why do they use words like venomous, getting his, she can't get her fingers back? Interesting, they never talk about policy. You never hear, I hate Hillary Clinton because I don't believe in the Family Medical Leave Act. I think that families should have to work and work and work, even if their sick mothers are in the hospital. Forget their mother. You never hear them say, Hillary wants health care for children. I think children in America should die if they have leukemia. You never hear that argument. You never even hear, I don't support Hillary Clinton because I want to see our troops in Iraq for the next 100 years. No, they're arguing over, they're saying she's dishonest. They're saying she's venomous. And the only thing they can point out to is, Hillary Clinton, a recent attack on Barack Obama with a certain guy by the name of Rezko. Frankly, there's some questions there. I don't think there's much there, but she's throwing that out. He's throwing out Walmart. That's little stuff. One of the things that I find fascinating in this whole debate is the way the Republicans and the media, and remember, the media today is closely tied with the Republicans. You have the Fox propaganda channel, Fox News, an entirely owned and controlled subsidiary of the Republican Party because it's run by Roger Ailes, who is a Republican operative, Rupert Murdoch. The goal of Fox is to make you vote Republican. With that and all the analysts that come from them, you have an intense drumbeat against Hillary Clinton, a very strong drumbeat against her. And it's either for one of two reasons. Either because, like Ed, people just really hate Hillary and take it personally. Now, why is that? Partly because they hate Bill Clinton. But why do they hate Bill Clinton? Long before Monica Lewinsky, there was this intense hatred of Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton challenged the established interests, right? Or because they don't think a woman perhaps should be in power. But they don't seem to hate Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama talks about inclusion. He talks about ending red state and blue state. Is this his words? Is this nice words? Which matter? Words matter, as Barack Obama has pointed out. They bring people in. Or is this about policy? Would Barack Obama compromise more with the Republicans? No doubt, though, that the media is out to get Hillary. You doubt me? Well, I think one of the best people to show this is Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart shows how the media has taken things that Bill Clinton has said and things that Hillary Clinton has said and made them seem like really awful things. Again, let me show you in the way perhaps that only Jon Stewart can, using the clips that he found, how the media feels about the Clintons.
And what about the whole Clinton thing?
Bill Clinton gets into a heated exchange.
Clinton angrily reacted to that.
Yeah, Bill Clinton throwing a fit.
He lashed out.
Did he? Really? Is that what he did? Is that what happened? Well, here's the footage. This is him being asked by a CNN reporter about accusations that he has been playing the race card.
Once you accuse somebody of racism or bigotry or something, the facts become irrelevant. There are facts here. This is what you want to cover. This is what you live for.
Shame on you.
Thanks, guys.
Shame on you.
He's on fire! But wait, he just challenged the media. I wonder if they'll lash out or erupt. Here's Soledad O'Brien erupting.
It was an interesting and kind of long rant against the media. He went on to say, shame on you later on. You're determined to take the election away from the people. What do you make of remarks like that when really every day we have a back and forth that involves the two candidates and not really the media?
Yeah, whatever. I mean, why would Bill Clinton think that the media is imposing a narrative on this campaign?
Hillary Clinton is one of the most divisive political figures in modern-day American history.
Sometimes described as polarizing.
This is what they say about Senator Clinton, that she's unelectable.
Oh, I see. The media isn't imposing the narrative. Some people are. And as it turns out, as luck would have it, those some people they're talking about, you'll never guess where they work.
Hillary is an agent of calculation.
This was calculated. A robo-candidate.
The reason she may be a front-runner is her husband messed around.
She pretended to cry.
She would have melted like the Wicked Witch of the West.
And when Hillary Clinton speaks, men hear, take out the garbage.
Yes. Yes, Hillary Clinton's voice is annoying. Yours sounded great.
Here's the point, one that Jon Stewart makes so well. The media is telling you that Hillary Clinton's a bad person. They're telling you again and again and again. She's polarizing, she's awful, she's faking crying. You know, Bill Clinton could cry at the drop of a hat. Hillary, her tears, you know, water up at one point in a 24-hour, 7-day campaign. Oh, and she's faking crying. You know, she's polarizing, she's like a woman in charge, take out the garbage. You have to ask yourself, who is the media for? The media supports Barack Obama. They hate the Clintons. Now, isn't that interesting? Why is that? I have to tell you, I am undecided in this race. But if I vote for Hillary Clinton, part of the reason will be because the media so much doesn't want me to. Why is the media again and again and again telling you Hillary Clinton's an awful person? We talked to Ed from Fairfax. What could he specify? Here she has all these years of public service, and he mentions her complaint about Obama and Resco, which, you know, it's a minor thing. It's a political campaign. I mean, compare it to John McCain, who, according to Mitt Romney, is lying when John McCain says that Mitt Romney said that we could have a timetable withdrawal from troops. I mean, this is what happens in a political campaign. He throws out Walmart. She throws out Resco. Here's the thing that concerns me the most. The media is saying Bill Clinton brought up issues of race. That's Bill Clinton's fault. How dare he bring up race in this campaign? And indeed, if he had brought up race, I would be the first to be very concerned. One of the things I've been very proud of, both by Barack Obama and by Hillary Clinton, and by John Edwards too for that matter, is all of them have made clear that the race of the candidate, that the gender of the candidate, should not be a reason why you vote. Now, we all know that it is. We all know that, yes, Hillary Clinton does have a lot of women that are supporting her. And, yes, Barack Obama also has a lot of blacks that are supporting him. And that's okay. I don't have any problem with that. But many whites support Barack Obama. Many blacks support Hillary. Many men support Hillary. Many women support Barack Obama. It's the media that is trying to take the conversation and always talk about race. And they're doing it because it's interesting. Because race in America has always been a third rail. Heck, we fought a civil war, a brutal civil war, where millions of Americans, well, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Americans died, the most vicious war in American history, over race. So the media wants to get into race. And here's a black candidate, here's a woman candidate. Let's talk about race. Let's talk about race. I want to show you the full clip with Bill Clinton. Because not only did Bill Clinton not raise the race card, he was condemning the media for repeatedly raising the race card. And it's time that we Americans called out the media. It's not Bill Clinton's fault. He didn't raise race. The media raised race. Let me show the full clip of Bill Clinton and how it is that the racial issue was raised. Because I really think this has been played a lot. This is his angry outburst. It's really a lot more subtle than that. Let's show it.
And the final thing I'd like to say is, you're asking me about this. You sat through this whole meeting. Not one single solitary soul asked about any of this. And they never do. They're feeding you this because they know this is what you want to cover. This is what you live for. But this hurts the people of South Carolina. Because the people of South Carolina are coming to these meetings and asking questions about what they care about. And what they care about is not going to be in the news coverage tonight because you don't care about it. What you care about is this. And the Obama people know that. So they just spin you up on this and you happily go along. The people don't care about this. They never ask about it. And you are determined to take this election away from them. And that's not right. That is not right. This election ought to belong to those people who are out here asking questions about their lives.
Do you think the Obama people are stoking some of this talk about racial issues?
Well, you ask me questions based on Harpoolian calls me Lee Atwater. I spent all my life fighting those people. And he wasn't in Nevada. So he's having a fight not with me, but with Dolores Huerta, who founded the farm workers with Cesar Chavez. He should ask her. She was there. He doesn't care what happened. He just knows he can call you a name, and you guys will cover it. They did not ask about this, and you don't care what your own people care about. They care about what happens to the American people. That's one thing John Edwards wrote about in the debate.
But do you think the Obama people are stoking all this talk about race?
One more story. Shame on you.
Thanks, guys.
Shame on you.
So there you have it. There you have it. Is Bill Clinton wrong? The media says, let's talk about race. Let's talk about race. And Bill Clinton says, nobody in this room in South Carolina asked me about race. This is what you want, he says to the media. This is what you live for. You're determined to take the election away from the people of South Carolina who want to talk about health care and the war in Iraq and education and the problems of massive debt and crumbling bridges in America. And you keep wanting to talk about race. Shame on you. This is Bill Clinton's angry outburst. And I agree 100% with him. Shame on the media. Shame on the mainstream media for trying to say vote for Barack Obama. Shame on them for calling Hillary Clinton names and not giving facts to back up those names. And I should say to you that in the Republican Party, it's very clear to me also that the media has made a choice. They have chosen John McCain. And I do not mean in any way to attack John McCain, just like I don't mean to attack Barack Obama, to say that they are the media's choice. The media is very down on Mitt Romney and is constantly praising John McCain. He seems to get away with anything, just like Barack Obama can get away with anything. This is a hard-fought campaign. Let's talk about issues. Let's not have the media decide who we should vote for. Let's go to a different Ed from Fairfax. Different Ed, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question.
Yes.
I'm following your arguments here, but what I would like to know is what is the real difference between these candidates? Because, for example, we know that there's a superficial difference. One is a man and a woman. But what do they really stand for? You haven't stated any of this yet. As far as a person with a European type approach to politics, I see really no difference between the Republican candidates and the Democrat candidates. Could you please enlighten me?
Well, that's a great question, but there's two different questions there. And You're talking about the differences among the Democrats or the differences between the Democrats and the Republicans?
The difference between the Democrats and the Republicans.
Oh, there are huge differences between the Democrats and the Republicans.
Would you care to
elucidate? Sure. The Democrats believe that we should move the country toward universal health care, that every American should have a chance to have health care, to buy it or to be a part of a system. The Republicans don't believe in that. The Democrats believe in fiscal conservatism. They believe that we should pay as we go. We shouldn't have programs we shouldn't pay for. The Republicans believe in large tax cuts to wealthy people so as to stimulate the economy, but also to bring us into a lot of debt. Republicans support heavy debt. Republicans support us being in Iraq for, as John McCain said, perhaps the next 100 years.
But so did Hill. Hillary. So did Hillary Clinton support being in Iraq.
No, Hillary Clinton,
she
Barack.
Voted for it.
Hillary, okay. She did vote to authorize the war, and I'll talk about that in a second. You should know that her current policy is very similar to John Edwards and Barack Obama's, which is why I think the differences between them are hard to tell sometimes.
Hold on.
Hillary Clinton's policy is that within 60 days of her becoming president of the United States, she will start the withdrawal of our troops from Iraq. Now, you are right that at the beginning, Barack Obama, who was a state legislator at the time, did oppose the war from the very outset. Hillary Clinton voted to authorize the use of force, and she has said that she did so because we didn't have the inspectors in Iraq. Saddam Hussein had kicked the inspectors out of Iraq, and she felt that the use of force would be a way to force Saddam Hussein to allow the inspectors back in. She said she didn't think that George Bush would take that and go and invade a country like Iraq even when they let the inspectors back in. But in terms of their current policy, hers and Barack Obama's and John Edwards are very similar on Iraq.
May I just interject here?
Sure.
That Barack Obama didn't vote. He just abstained from voting.
Well, Barack Obama wasn't in the Senate at the time.
He was
in the Illinois legislature. He did give a speech, though, in 2002, strongly opposing our intervention in Iraq.
Yeah, but since then, he has also said he's willing to stay the course. What does that mean?
I don't think he said stay the course. He has voted for certain funding, just as Hillary Clinton has. There's not that much difference.
They support the war then, doesn't it?
Well, but there's a strong difference between them and the Republicans. I mean,
can you describe it?
Sure. When a Democrat becomes president of the United States, any of the Democratic candidates running will start to withdraw our troops from Iraq, with most of them gone by the first year, whether it's Obama, Clinton, or Edwards. If a Republican wins, we will have combat troops in Iraq for the next, John McCain has said it could be 100 years. So Republicans believe we should have a permanent base in Iraq, and Democrats believe that this has cost too much money and too many lives, and our money is better spent at home or in combating Osama bin Laden. So that's a very clear difference between the parties.
Are you a betting man?
You said you're not a betting man.
I said, are you a betting man?
Am I a betting man? Sometimes. Yeah.
I would make a bet that whoever gets in will be in Iraq for 30 years.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
That.
I'll tell you what. If a Democrat wins, you're welcome to come back on this show. I would be surprised if a Democratic president doesn't begin drawing down the troops. Now, whether we have a few thousand troops left, I think most of the Democratic candidates...
Now you're qualifying it.
Well, no. No, I think there's a huge difference. Now, wait. You don't think there's a huge difference between having 3,000 troops in Iraq guarding our embassies and having 158,000 combat troops fighting a war and dying all the time?
None whatsoever. If you have 3,000 troops there, you're still there.
I disagree with you there. I think there's a huge difference in cost.
So now
there's a huge difference in loss of lives. There's a huge difference in the amount of occupation. I think there's a huge difference. I mean, you're right. I think we will have some troops in there a year afterwards. But I think there's a huge difference between spending $3 billion a week, which is what we're doing on Iraq, and however many million it costs to have a few thousand troops there. I do think there's a difference. Don't you think there's a difference on health care? Don't you think there's a difference on tax cuts? Don't you think there's a difference on civil rights? I mean, clearly, I would agree with you that there's not much difference between and among the Democratic candidates, and that's why I'm trying to subtly figure out the difference here. But between the Democrats and the Republicans, there's a world of difference, and I don't think that's really in dispute.
Well, only time we'll see.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call. I do appreciate it.
Bye.
I do think, though, it's important to talk about the differences between the candidates, because, after all, this isn't a question about November. It's a question about what to do in February, whether you vote on Super Tuesday, whether you vote in the Chesapeake primary a week later. Here are some differences. One difference is on health care. Hillary Clinton and John Edwards would cover every American. Barack Obama would allow the government to provide health care to every American, including those with pre-existing conditions, but wouldn't require it. Now, there's a question there, and the question is, well, what do you do in cases where someone doesn't buy the health care under Barack Obama's plan and then finds out they need it? They have an accident or they come down with a severe disease. Well, he says that he would fine the person a certain amount so that you don't have someone saying, well, I'm not going to buy insurance, but then I have an emergency and I need the insurance. I prefer, I must admit, Clinton and Edwards' policy on this one. I think that you bring everyone in under universal health care. You still allow people to choose among the government or various insurance companies. I think the government can get much cheaper rates, frankly. But people can make their choice, but I think everyone should be covered. I agree with them on that one. On the bankruptcy bill, I agree with Barack Obama. There was a bill that makes it harder to declare bankruptcy. Now, most people who declare bankruptcy today do so because of very heavy health care costs or very heavy credit card debt. And so you find that John Edwards supported the bankruptcy bill. Here, for all his wonderful talk about the cause of his life, about stopping poverty, which I agree with, which is very wonderful talk, he voted for a bankruptcy bill which helps credit card companies at the expense of individuals. Barack Obama was against the bankruptcy bill. Hillary Clinton was against the bankruptcy bill when it finally came up for a vote, the one that that George Bush made into law. She was for an earlier version of the bankruptcy bill. But in all this talk about the bankruptcy bill, there are some fine differences. I think Barack Obama was wrong to be opposed to an amendment to cut the high interest rate. Let me show you an example of all of this so you know what I'm talking about. But my overall point is that these differences, health care, bankruptcy, the differences among the Democratic candidates are relatively small. Nonetheless, I do want to play for you this exchange on the bankruptcy bill so you can get an idea of what I'm talking about on the differences between them. You'll see that when Barack Obama says that, hey, I didn't want to have interest rates that were higher or lower than 30%, check this out.
Let me start with the claim about the bankruptcy bill. I said very clearly I regretted voting for it, and I was happy that it didn't get into law. By 2005, there was another run at a bankruptcy reform motivated by the credit card companies and the other big lenders. I opposed that bill. I said very forcefully I opposed that bill. There was a particular amendment that I think is very telling. It was an amendment to prohibit credit card companies from charging more than 30% interest. Senator Obama voted for it. I voted against it. It was one of the biggest lobbyist victories on that very bad bill that the bankruptcy bill represented.
Thank you.
And I think it's important, you know, if you look at the recent article about Senator Obama's work on health care reform in the Illinois legislature, it's a very interesting piece about how he basically did the bidding of the insurance companies during that effort. Now, I'm just saying that if we're going to be hurling these charges against one another, I'm used to taking the incoming fire. I've taken it for 16 years. But when you get into this arena, you can't expect to have a hands-off attitude about your record. And it is perfectly fair to have comparisons and contrasts. I voted against a 30%, I voted for limiting to 30% what credit card companies could charge. Right. Senator Obama did not.
Senator Obama,
that's
30
fact.
Seconds, please.
Absolutely. It is a fact because I thought 30% potentially was too high of a ceiling. So we had had no hearings on that bill. It had not gone through the banking committee. I don't know about a lot of folks here. Most folks here, if they've got a credit card, are paying 29%, which, so under this provision, that would have been fine. And we had not created the kind of serious...
You voted against it because the limit was too high? Is that what you just said?
That is exactly what I just said, John.
So there's no limit at all?
There had been no discussion. Hold on, John. No, look, listen to this. There had been no discussion about how we were going to structure this, and this was something that had not gone through the committee, and we hadn't talked about. It didn't make sense for us to cap interest rates.
So you voted with the credit card companies.
No,
that's the bottom
Hillary,
line.
I opposed that bill, and you know I did.
Well,
and consistently did, and unlike you and John who voted for it previously. But here's the point. What we have to do is we've got to have consistency in how we vote. You can't say one thing during the campaign trail and then apologize afterward and say it was a mistake. And that has repeatedly happened during the course of this campaign. And I think that tells you the kind of president that folks are going to be.
Well, you know, Senator Obama, it is very difficult having a straight-up debate with you because you never take responsibility for any vote. And that has been a pattern. You in this, in the Illinois, now wait a minute, in the Illinois State Legislature, just a minute, in the Illinois State Senate, Senator Obama voted 130 times present. That's not yes, that's not no.
Let me stop it here and say this. None of the candidates are perfect, all right? I do think that Hillary Clinton's attack on Barack Obama here was unfair. Not, oh my God, this is terrible, unfair, but in the world of politics, the reason you vote present, as Barack Obama explained in the Illinois legislature, is sometimes you like part of a bill and you don't like other parts of the bill. He has a right to vote present. I have problems with all of the candidates on tiny issues. I think Barack Obama is right about John Edwards. John Edwards had a career of voting for moderate bills that I dislike, things like the bankruptcy bill, and then he comes on air and says that fighting poverty has been his whole life. Well, I love what he says about fighting poverty. I think he's absolutely right, and I hope and pray, and I already see Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton taking some of these ideas from John Edwards and using them in their campaign, but his vote happened to be the wrong way. Barack Obama points out that Hillary Clinton voted for at least one draft of the bankruptcy bill, the one that harms people in poverty, that harms people that have massive health care debt, and he was against both of it. Hillary Clinton and John Edwards point out that John Edwards was wrong about the interest rate. Here's my point. I brought up these differences because they are differences that I think you should know about, but they're tiny. And the attacks, although I think sometimes they go a little far, are basically fair. Basically, they're trying to discuss the differences on matters of policy. And that's the way it should be. And I want to praise all three candidates for not going where the media has gone, talking about issues of race, but instead talking about the issues of the day. All three of them are very intelligent individuals. All three of them would make an excellent president of the United States. Now, I have to make my decision. And those of you that listen to the Inside Scoop radio show can listen on Wednesday at radioinsidescoop.com when I make my formal endorsement of one of the candidates. And I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be John Edwards. It will be either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Let me say this about Barack Obama, because I've been kind of hard on him before I close. If he is the person to transform America, if he does on the left what Ronald Reagan did on the right, brings in Republicans and independents without at all losing a progressive identity, if he can do that, then he truly is doing something that is very rare in American politics and is transformative. And if he can do that, and if I can believe he can do that, he's going to get my vote on Wednesday. For now, this is Mark Lee.